Hi, this is LaMonica Peters of The Hutchinson Report, hosted by Earl Lofari Hutchinson. Tune in each Saturday from noon to 1 p.m. for an up-to-the-minute discussion of local and national news events. Be sure to tune in for The White House Desk, an exciting segment of The Hutchinson Report in which White House officials give special reports about what's really happening in Washington. Once again, listen to The Hutchinson Report each Saturday from noon to 1 p.m. You can view The Hutchinson Report on Ustream.tv or listen online at www.kpfk.org.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, all over the world at kpfk.org. My name is Michael Barnes, and I am guest hosting for Sergio Melnichenko. We'll be back with you next week, and hopefully, if all goes well, shortly we'll be speaking to Sean Lee. But right now, here is music from Sean Lee's Ping Pong Orchestra. We'll be performing later on tonight in Chinatown. Miles of Style is the name of the most recent record from this particular group of Sean Lee's. Punjabi Lullaby, the name of the track you're going to hear right now on KPFK's Global Village.
Thank you.
Music from Sean Lee
all
here
on
KPFK. And that comes from a new record that he's just put out on Ubiquity. It's called Sing a Song, Who Are You, the name of that track. Before that, you heard him along with the Ping Pong Orchestra, Punjabi Lullaby, the name of that song from the record Miles of Styles. And the man himself is here in the studios with us at KPFK. How you doing, Sean?
Hey, Michael, how you doing? I'm a little bit late, but...
No worse for the wear.
All right, I made it.
How's this trip to L.A. been treating you so far?
It's been good. It's been trippy, man. I'm making a lot of old connections. You know, I just ran into an old friend, as I told you, in Starbucks up the street that I hadn't seen in about since about 1992. He was like, I saw his face, and I was like, he looks like this dude Josh I used to know. And then he looks at me, and he goes, Sean? So it's been a bit of that, man. You know, yeah. It's like full circle stuff.
Now, you weren't born in Los Angeles, but you spent a fair amount of time in L.A., right?
Yeah, that's right. I was born in Wichita, Kansas, and then I moved to L.A. in 88.
Uh-huh.
And then in 94, I moved over to London.
Okay.
So it's funny. It's like there's a lot of, I'm making a lot of connections with people who I didn't know when I lived here, but knew most of the same people.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm working with them, and I'm thinking, how did I not know you when I lived there? It's really weird. You know, who are you? To face, you know, the song there. But, yeah. It's a trip, man.
Yeah, and then, and in some
small,
ways...
Small world.
Exactly. It also explains this kind of mix-mash accent that you have.
It's, yes, it's a really... the transatlantic London Midwestern accent.
Yeah, I know, because I was born in Atlanta, Georgia. So, you know, when I'm around Southern folks, then... The sudden kind of comes out a little bit more.
Oh, completely.
But then I have like a Oakland, L.A. kind of thing that comes in there, too, from time to time.
Well, you know, I'm staying with an old friend of mine, and she's from Tennessee. She grew up in Tennessee, and she lived in Arkansas and Texas. And she's out of town now, but, man, I was getting a Southern accent in a couple of days, man. I was saying stuff, and I was like, man, I don't even recognize my voice.
Yeah. You know, and it's kind of an interesting thing. You're here in town. You're playing a bunch of shows. You're playing tonight at Soul Sessions at the Grand Star in Chinatown, and then Sunday you're doing a free show over at Amoeba.
That's right, man. Amoeba Records and on Hollywood. Yeah, 5 o'clock.
And then next week on the 31st, you're at the Commonwealth Lounge in OC, kind of... A whole nice Southern California tour.
Yeah, Fullerton. And then we're headed up to the Pacific Northwest to do Bumbershoot Festival in Seattle on the 4th. If anybody's a hardcore fan, they want to fly up there and see us. You know, it's all good.
Yeah. Kind of digging off what we were saying a second ago about the accents and especially how you pick up the different accents. One of the things I really find interesting about your music is it doesn't seem to... I mean, it certainly has... pretty soulful roots to pretty much everything you do, but there are all these different styles that come in. So a lot of times, I mean, that was certainly the case with the Miles of Styles record, a lot of times multiple styles on the same record. Can you kind of say a little something about how your approach to making music?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, for starters, living in London is such an international hub of a city. And it's very cosmopolitan, and you know, so there's you got great access to, you know, different cultures and different music, and that just seeps into the, you know, what I'm doing, just naturally speaking. And I'm a great collector of instruments, and particularly I love a lot of Eastern instruments, Chinese mm-hmm. instruments, Indian instruments, and so these kind of things. It's really fresh for me to use like kind of ethnic folk instruments, which are sort of very specific and very traditional in their usage, and then to take those things and take them out of that context and put it into my kind of musical bag, and it just makes it sound different and fresh, and it's fun. I don't know what I'm doing, so that's sort of key in the creative process. When you maintain a very childlike approach, and you don't, how's this thing work? I don't know. Oh, this is a nice sound. You know, record. You know, and then it's down, and all of a sudden it just sounds interesting and fresh, and a lot of times it sounds ambiguous. You're like, you don't know what it is when you listen to it. You know, you're not quite sure, and then all of a sudden these things start to blend together and create a really interesting, you know, sonic sort of palette.
Yeah, I thought that was definitely the case, especially with the first record that you put out this year, the collaboration with Bebe.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would have ever made that record had I been living here.
Really? You know, why are you saying that?
I just don't know if I would. I'm not sure if I would have, you know, come across to it or not. I think there's a thing about being outside of America and being in a place like London where all of a sudden, you know, you kind of have a bigger world view. I think when you live in America, America is so big that a lot of the times it's easy to kind of be caught in that sort of bubble and not think so internationally and or outer nationally, if you want. But you know what I mean? I think it's like that for me. And it's like, so I'm kind of, I'm on this little island, you know, in Europe. And so, you know, I'm kind of looking all around, and it's, the world's all around me, and I'm sort of like, I just got a different kind of access and a different sort of, you know, perspective and a point of view. And so I'm sort of grabbing at things. You know, I'm saying, oh, here's something I like. Here's something I like over here, you know, and just kind of grabbing it and you know, go, come here. Come to Papa.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, Bebe's bad, man.
Yeah, she's an amazing player.
Yeah, she's an incredible musician.
What's the instrument? Is it a guzheng? Is that
yeah, I believe it's pronounced guzheng.
Okay.
She'll probably tell us when we speak to her. But
yeah, and it's almost kind of like a Chinese, a real generalization, but it's kind of a Chinese zither in a way.
That's right, exactly. It's from the zither family. It's a board zither. It's actually an ancient instrument, and it's sort of it's like the mother Asian zither, you know, the mother to like the Japanese Kodo, and there's you know, every country kind of has their own version of it, but the Chinese version has more strings than the Kodo. It's like, it's the, you know, it's the papa, the mama and the papa of the whole thing, man. She, you know, she works it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, she's a virtuoso. She's deep. I mean, when I first heard her play, which was online, I was like, I want to make a record with this person. You know, it was inspiring. I just thought, I love what she does. I can hear that in my sort of context and where I would take that. And it took about 3 or 4 years before I sort of arrived at a point where I was ready to approach her. You know, I was doing this, doing that, kind of finishing things up and, you know, just going on my journey. And then, you know, I said, this is time to make a move on this now. And I approached her, you know, with, she'd done a record that was just sort of classical Chinese stuff. And I took some of the stuff and I cut it up and I wrote music around that, made some tracks. I think I did 6 tracks, and then I wrote one specifically for her, and I sent those all to her and I said, look, I'd love to make a record with you. This is what I've done so far. This is the way I would imagine it would sound. You know, what do you think? You know, are you up for this? And I sent it to her, and then I just waited. It was like, oh, anticipation. And finally got an email back from her, and she was like, oh, yeah, sounds pretty good. Yeah, what do you have in mind? Yeah, maybe we could do something. It was sort of like a really sort of calm response, which kind of threw me. I thought she was either going to be like, what have you done? Or this is amazing. I wasn't quite sure. And then we hooked up. I came over here and I met her. And we went to IHOP. I think I had an iced tea. And,
all great musical collaborations.
Exactly. And then I came back to London and continued working and finished the record up. And, you know, it's a record I'm very, very proud of. And I think it felt like we were doing something which, you know, really hadn't been done, which is a really hard thing to do. I mean, obviously there were certain kind of references like Alice Coltrane and Dorothy Ashby and things like that. But, you know, you couldn't really pinpoint somebody doing a record with a Chinese zither in the context that we were doing it, although I'm sure it existed. I'm sure there's some 70s Hong Kong soundtrack.
Yeah, some private press thing somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure, because everything's kind of been, you know, anything you can think of was done like 50 years ago and probably done better, you know. But it felt like a really fresh sort of, you know, musical sort of direction to go in, and I think it's a very special record for me.
What's been the response? That was one of the things I was thinking about, because as you were saying, you know, a lot of times you take traditional records and a variety of different sounds sometimes out of their original context and put them into a new context, and I was wondering, especially with that record and her being more of a traditional player, though she likes to mix it up too.
Yeah, of course. She can mix it up.
What the response has been like with these kind of traditional sounds mixing with soul and jazz.
Well, you know,
fusion kind of sounds.
I mean, as far as I know, I mean, the response was all good. I don't think anybody was like, what have you done, sacrilege? You know, I think it's an interesting sort of synthesis, you know, of East and West. And I think for Western musicians, you know, generally speaking, I think there's always been a fascination with sounds from the East. You know, we're sort of seduced by, you know, the exotic sounds and the scales, and it's just all, it's a different kind of approach. It's a different sound. There's something really, you know, special going on in the East. And it's, you know, it seduces you, man. You know, you like want to get in there. I think it's been happening, this kind of collaboration has been happening for a very long time with people. And, you know, I'm just part of that, the lineage of that, you know, I'm just carrying that on.
Yeah, it's a really great record. It's one that came out right at the beginning of the year. It might have slipped under some people's radars, but
yeah,
hopefully,
I think it did.
Hopefully not. And also, I was going to play a track from it real quick. Also features George Ann Muldrow from Los Angeles doing vocals on one of the tracks. So why don't we actually listen to one of the tracks from Into the Wind, which features Sean Lee and Bebe and also George Ann Muldrow. The song is Willingness that you're hearing on KPFK's Global Village. Music from Sean Lee, Bebe, and also Georgianne Muldrow on the vocals from the album Into the Wind, which was released earlier in the year on Ubiquity. And Sean Lee is actually in our studios right here at KPFK in Global Village. And one of the things that it seems like's happened with your music in the last couple years is that it seems like you're both, I don't know if more comfortable, just kind of throwing out the name of Sean Lee by itself, as opposed to along with the Ping Pong Orchestra, and also there seems to be more of like a direct kind of collaborative vibe to what you've been doing the last couple of years with Clutchy Hopkins, this record with
right.
Bebe, the thing with Money Mark and Tommy Guerrero.
Yeah.
Has that been kind of a conscious decision? You wanted to bring in all these different things?
Well, you know what? I think it's conscious on one level and subconscious on another. I think my work has taken on a very sort of collaborative angle in the last year or two, but this, I think, you know, there's so many amazing musicians and singers out there, you know, and I do a lot of, you know, when I'm in the studio, I'm kind of a one-man band,
mm-hmm.
so I'm working on my own in isolation, and I love that, but also love with work feed, you know, off working with really talented people, and there's just no end of amazing musicians out there to work with and to collaborate with and to kind of share ideas. And I think a lot of times when you get people that are really amazing at what they do and you got your thing together and you trust each other and you just put it together and nobody compromises their creativity, their art, I think you end up with something very special. And I think it becomes more of the sum of the parts, you know, it becomes bigger than you are. And I think, you know, I just want to work with as many people as possible and make as much music as possible. And in terms of the Ping Pong Orchestra, I haven't consciously moved away from it, but I mean, I think there's seven PPO records now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's definitely, this year coming, there will definitely be at least one Ping Pong Orchestra record. I'm already kind of now thinking about what I want to do with that and how I'm getting back to that. And it's just about, you know, it's about juggling so many different things at once. And it's about keeping things fresh for myself and just making the music that I feel like making at that moment. You know, I'm constantly have ideas of, you know, conceptual things that I want to do, and I'm sowing the seeds of some of those while I'm here. And next year should be interesting, you know. There's much more to come, you know. I'm not letting up anytime soon, you know. I feel like I'm really into the pocket of what I'm doing, and I can't see that changing at the moment.
Yeah, it seems like it, man, because, I mean, this is one of the things we were talking about a moment ago off the air, was that, you know, there are a few artists that put out quite the amount of music, but also consistent and high quality stuff, and always changing it up. I mean, that's the thing that is really impressive about your work to me, is just that, not just that there's so much music, at least a couple records. What, the last, I think, 3 years, there have been at least two records, at least maybe
there's
one year,
three,
there's three.
Three albums every year since, I think, about 2005. And
yeah,
this year there'll be actually four, which will be the first time I've pull that off, because I produced a band called the Superimposers, and I was co-writing and playing on the record, and during the process of doing the record, I sort of became a member of the band. You know, why not? You know, so that was my fourth one, but Yeah, I mean, I love music, and I'm obsessed with music, and I have so much passion for it, and I'm inspired. And so it's just a really natural thing to make music. That's what I love to do. You know, that's for me, that's like eating and walking and sleeping. It's like a basic bodily function. You know, it's like I live for it. And if I didn't have that, I don't know what I would do. So, you know, I need it. I need to do it. That's who I am. So for me, it's impossible. The idea of running out of ideas or inspiration or getting burnt out, it's not really an option, you know, in my life, in my mind, in my heart, you know what I mean? I just enjoy it. It's so much fun. You know, I have to do it. I ain't stopping. Ain't no stopping us now. We're on the move.
So what's coming up next? You were talking about a Ping Pong Orchestra record potentially coming out this year. And
yeah, the next
record
is a Ping Pong Orchestra record. It's called Hooked Up Classics. And it's my spin on, I don't know if you remember, back in the day there was those Hooked On Classics records that were kind of like classical music, Beethoven and whatnot, with like a disco beat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've kind of done my own kind of classical record where I'm going back and, you know, getting jiggy with, you know, with Ravel and his cronies, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And putting them into my kind of psychedelic kind of funk thing, you know. And there's a lot, yeah, I mean, those are some of the greatest themes ever written. I mean, you're dealing, and I, you know, I've got a sort of reverence for it, but I have a complete, you know, I don't care. I'm the same. These tunes have been done the way they've been done, you know, for many, many, many years, and they've been done in a really straight way with orchestras and whatnot. And, you know, I don't care, you know what I mean? So I'm taking it out of the opera house and putting it in the whole house, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm, like, getting down and dirty with it and doing whatever I want with it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times that's the key with some things. You can't revere something so much that you're afraid to touch it. You kind of have to be like, I respect this, but at the same time, I can do whatever I want to do with it. That's up to me, you know? I don't care about being sacrilegious, any of that, you know? I'm just doing what feels good. So I think it's a really fun record, and it's a really interesting thing to work in that classical medium and just kind of spin it on its head a little bit and you know, take it down to my side of town. So I'm looking forward to that record. I think it's a fun little record. I think sometimes the Ping Pong Orchestra thing is a little bit more, it's a little bit more the kind of fun side of me. You know, it's like it's less serious. I mean, I'm very serious about music and making music, but I'm not serious about myself. You know, I don't take myself seriously. I can laugh at myself And I think my sense of humor comes across in the music. You know, I think you can tell I'm having fun when I'm doing it, man. You know, because that's, you know, music should be fun.
Yeah.
And I do believe that humor does belong in music. Whereas I think a lot of people don't allow, it's like they're devoid of each other. You know what I mean? Everybody's like, you know, they got the mask on. They're doing the thing. You know, they got to be hard. They got to be serious. They got to be angry or whatever they got to be. You know what I'm saying? For me, like, humor definitely belongs in music because that's one of the things that makes it human. It makes it warm, it makes it real, it makes it organic, and I think that's what I'm all about, you know.
Yeah, in some
especially
ways
in this day and age.
Yeah, especially in this day and age with everything that's going on. Yeah, that approach, you know, reminds me very much of a lot of hip-hop producers, and you know, the way they chop things up, and in some cases, if you know the original, then you know, some people kind of frown on it. But a lot of times it is that kind of idea that here's this music and I'm trying to interpret it and bring it out and communicate in a different way.
Yeah, you're making
what
you will of it. You know what I mean? You're spinning it in your direction. And I think you got to be able to, I mean, hip hop wouldn't have existed in its earlier forms if people just didn't like say, oh, I like this note, I like this chord, I like this riff. And they just didn't take it and chop it up and spin it the way they wanted to spin it. And I think that's a really fresh approach.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can't respect something so much that you're scared to kind of deal with it. And I think that's where a lot of times people, I've been involved in some of these kind of cover projects and some of these remix projects where people are taking classic things. And a lot of people get asked to do these things and they don't do them because they respect the original so much they don't know what they can do with it. They don't know where they can take it. They kind of feel like, oh, I don't know, I shouldn't touch this. You know, and obviously that's relative to each person. I mean, there's some things I wouldn't touch. I mean, that's classic. But, you know, I think you have to be unafraid and just be like, you know what? I can do whatever I want to do with this. This exists in its pure way already. And I can bastardize that in any way I want to do it, make it my own, and not be afraid of doing it. And I think you have to be fearless. I think creativity is like that. You have to just be able to put yourself out there, not care what people think, and just do what feels good. The people that dig it, dig it. And the people that don't understand it, you know, maybe they'll understand it at another point. And maybe they won't, you know what I mean? But you just got to do your thing, keep going, and make it real.
Yeah, it's something you definitely do. A lot of times your records, what they kind of remind me of are like mixtapes that DJs make for each other's, in a way.
Yeah.
You know? That or when they're like, they're trying to not just present kind of their style, but also people who've influenced it and to turn people on to other stuff. And that's the thing I appreciate again about it, you know, because there's of artists that are for people who know, it's like, it's clear, the inspiration is clear, but it's in a different context. So it's bringing new people to it.
I think sometimes people are so with influences. Some people, you know, it's different from person to person, but a lot of people are like this, they're obsessed with being original, or, you know, I'm way past that. I don't care. You know, it's like, if I like something, I like something. Some of my tunes are, you know, very literal in their inspiration, and other times they're not. And I don't mind having the occasional tune that's like shows its influences on its sleeves, because it's like, it's giving something love. You know what I mean? It's like referencing something which is important to me. That's cool. And not everybody's heard these things. So I think, you know, you're bringing something forward. Sometimes somebody hears this tune, oh, I really like this. And then somebody goes, oh, yeah, it sounds a bit like this artist. And then maybe they don't know them. So then they go back and they check that artist out. And that's the way music builds on itself. It's always recycling ideas. And the idea of doing something original is pretty impossible these days. I think everybody owes a debt to something else. And we're all building. We're all standing on the shoulders of other people that came before us. And, I mean, some of the greatest tunes, man, are classics. They're like ripoffs, man. Led Zeppelin, they're straight ripoffs of, like, you know, R&B and blues things and the Beatles things and all that. This is how you find your voice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you don't do that, you don't allow yourself to do that, cut yourself some slack to do these things, man, you can't move forward.
Yeah, the thing, you know, these days it seems like the maybe most original thing you can do is just be honest.
Yeah, just do your thing. Do what feels good, what feels natural. Don't overthink it. Don't try to be like, you know, oh, I can't do that because it's this, you know.
Yeah.
Man, whatever. If you know, people hear something and they know if it's got love in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And they respond and they know if it's real or not, you know, and if it's human. And I think, for me, some of the best tunes I've done that I've noticed that people really dig, that the tunes that people connect with more, they're the things that are done so quickly. You don't think about it. You just do it. It comes out. That's it. It's like a reflex action. And there's a tune on Sing a Song called Fade Up featuring the Superimposers. And that tune's kind of breaking out on the record. And that tune was, I did the track in 20 minutes. You know, I didn't think about it. I just played everything. It just came out. It was like it fell out of the sky. That's it. And that's a tune that everybody digs. You know, everybody's going, oh, that tune.
Yeah.
And it's because of that. I know. And you know what I mean? It captures a moment. It's unpretentious. It's just not trying to be anything other than what it is. It just is, and you know, people can hear that.
Yeah, and people will definitely be hearing it tonight at Soul Sessions, Grand Star Jazz Club in Chinatown. We actually have 5 pairs of passes if you want to go see Sean Lee's Ping Pong Orchestra, courtesy of KPFK and Global Village over at Soul Sessions at the Grand Star Jazz Club in Chinatown tonight. Give us a call at 818-985-5735. The number once again here at KPFK, 818-985-5735, for pairs of passes to go see Sean Lee's Ping Pong Orchestra over at Soul Sessions at the Grand Star later on tonight in Chinatown. I want to thank you so much for coming through, Sean.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a pleasure.
This is a cool station, man. I used to listen to it back in the day. You're top, man. You're top guy.
Thank you very much. We're going to close things up with one of those songs we were talking about with clear inspiration to Dorothy Ashby. This one is Hot Thursday from Bebe and Sean Lee here on
Shout out to Bebe in Georgia.
Yeah, KPFK's Global Village.
Mr. DJ.
Suck it to him one more time.
Music from Cut Chemist in the set from a new mix he's put out. It's called Sound of the Police, all on one turntable with a mixer and a loop pedal. And that is from the east side part of the mix, mostly taking music from east of Africa, especially a lot of Ethiopian stuff that you heard in that, along with Apache shows up all of a sudden at the end. And just ahead of that, you heard music from Bebe and Sean Lee, in some ways paying respect to Dorothy Ashby on their song Hot Thursday from the record Into the Wind. And thanks once again so much to Sean Lee for stepping in and doing a little interview with us here today. And also thank you to everybody called up and congrats on winning some tickets. In the background right now, music from Fela Kuti from a record called Authority Stealing. There's actually a little celebration of the music of Fela Kuti going on later on tonight in Hollywood at Dragonfly. And it's going to feature actually Namdi from KPFK's Aphrodisia, and also Sandra Isidore, who was just on our airwaves last week during the fundraiser. So a memorial celebration to the music of Fela Kuti once again going on tonight at Dragonfly in Hollywood. And I wouldn't be able to live with myself if I didn't mention that. My name is Michael Barnes, filling in for Sergio Melnichenko. We'll be with you next week. Last set of music before we get to other programming here at KPFK. But I wanted to start things off maybe a little bit mellower than some of the sounds earlier. This is a new record from an artist out of France. His name is Bertrand Belin, and his record is Hyper Hypnuit, I believe, is the way that record is pronounced. And Nord de Tout, the name of the song, once again from Bertrand Belin here on KPFK's Global Village. Thank you.
Il est revenu une chose au-dessus, une part de passé en vivant au-dessus. Il est revenu nous embrasser après tout. Dans cet archipel, ce nord de tout, j'ai, voilà ce qu'il dit, le sommeil plein de loups. Thank you.
From the hills of
Music from Mark Kozelek, who records under the name Sunkill Moon these days. Admiral Fell Promises, the name of his new record. Church of the Pines, the name of the track that you were listening to right there. Ahead of that, music from Bertrand Belin, Nord de Tout, the name of the song from his new record, Hyper Nuit, which is out in France. My name is Michael Barnes, and it's been a pleasure filling in for Sergio Melnichenko. And he will be back with you here on Friday's Global Village next week. You can catch me on Sundays from 4 to 6 p.m. for a show I do called Melting Pot. And this Sunday, it's all vinyl, kind of freeform thing with a guest DJ, Clifton James Weaver III, a.k.a. Soft Touch of Funky Soul, will be coming in this Sunday. And I hope you enjoyed the show. And Page the Pantry is up next with Nikki Gallucci, a rebroadcast of a previous show coming up right here on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, all over the world at kpfk.org. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. Y'all take care.
Hi, I'm Sherry Beal, host and producer of Healthy Planet Healthy Me, a show that covers critical, cutting-edge topics directly affecting your health and well-being. Issues that are happening right here, right now. Make sure to join me Friday at 1:30 p.m., 1:30 p.m. Friday, for a very exciting, news-breaking show. Thank you.